She looked up and saw him coming. He'd been one of the guards at the concentration camp she had been imprisoned in a few years before this encounter. And this former Nazi guard was now walking in her direction. And then all the horrible memories came flashing back in an instant. The lights, the smells, the shame of walking past this man naked and exposed. Corrie Ten Boom and her sister Betsy had been arrested for concealing Jews in their home during the Nazi occupation of Holland, and subsequently had been put in Ravensbrück concentration camp. Her sister Betsy had eventually died there in the camp. And now, a few years after the war, Corrie was speaking about the topic of forgiveness at a public venue and declared the following statement: "When we confess our sins, God casts them into the deepest ocean, gone forever." But now, this former Nazi prison guard who was at this event walked right up to her, thrust out his hand, and said, "A fine message, Fräulein. How good it is to know that, as you say, all our sins are at the bottom of the sea. You mentioned Ravensbrück in your talk. I was a guard in there." He obviously did not remember her. He continued, "But since that time, I have become a Christian. I know that God has forgiven me for the cruel things I did there, but I would like to hear it from your lips as well." "Fräulein," again the hand came out, "will you forgive me?" She writes about this experience, and now I am quoting what she wrote. "And I stood there, I whose sins had every day to be forgiven, and could not. Betsy had died in that place. Could he erase her slow, terrible death simply for the asking? Jesus, help me," I prayed silently. "I can lift my hand, I can do that much. You supply the feeling." And so woodenly, mechanically, I thrust my hand into the one stretched out to me. And as I did, an incredible thing took place. The current started in my shoulder, raced down my arm, sprang into our joined hands, and then this healing warmth seemed to flood my whole being, bringing tears to my eyes. "I forgive you, brother," I cried, "with all my heart." Now, could you have done that? What would you have done if that was you? I think you would agree that there was something extraordinary in what Corrie did to extend forgiveness to this man. I think a key part of how she was able to do this was because she was able to tap into a deep reservoir of spiritual strength and power that gave her what she needed when asked to forgive this man. Do you have that kind of spiritual reservoir of power and strength within your soul? In our gospel reading today, Jesus tells the story of this unforgiving servant. A servant finds himself in deep debt to a king. And when I say deep debt, the debt that he owes was enormous. The passage says he owes 10,000 talents. One talent is worth 15 years' wages. So if you do the math, the servant owed 150,000 years of wages. The debt is actually more than 16 years of taxes for all the Jews in all of Judea. So if it helps, this is like saying that this person racked up a credit card debt of $100 million trillion. It's enormous. And yet, upon pleading for mercy and forgiveness, the king actually forgives this servant's debt. His debt is wiped clean. Soon afterwards, another servant finds himself in debt to this first servant. But this time the debt that is owed is very small in comparison. The debt is 100 denarii. One denarius is one day's wage. So that's 100 days' wages. So whatever you make in 100 days compared to $100 million trillion. But this time, unlike what the king did for the first servant, the first servant refuses to extend forgiveness to the second servant and ends up locking him up until the debt can be repaid. The king finds out about this and locks up this ungrateful servant. This ungrateful servant didn't extend the great mercy he had received out to his fellow servant. Okay, we know what this parable is about. Jesus is talking about the need to forgive our brother or sister who has hurt us. If we have been forgiven by our Lord for our sins, how can we hold back forgiveness for our brother or sister who has sinned against us? We pray this: forgive us our trespasses as we forgive those who trespass against us. We know this. Now let me make a couple qualifications about this parable. The situation being envisioned here is a challenge of forgiving a repentant person, not an unrepentant person. It's about forgiving someone who knows they have wronged you and is repentant and seeking your forgiveness. In the parable, both servants, they come up to the one who they owe a debt to, and they fall to their knees and say, "Have patience with me and I will pay you everything." They are both repentant people. So take note, this is not addressing what it means to deal with an unrepentant person, someone who persists in doing you wrong. So for instance, this is not telling someone who's repeatedly being abused at home or in a relationship to just forgive the abuser and just keep suffering under the abuse. This passage is not promoting the perpetuation of abuse in the name of Christian forgiveness. No, that's not what this parable is about. Dealing with abuse and mistreatment in the face of unrepentance and continued victimization calls for great wisdom and discernment, and it is not what this parable is addressing. So that's my first qualification. Secondly, the situation being addressed here is primarily about relationships within the church. Jesus' parable here is prefaced by Peter in verse 21 asking, "Lord, if another member of the church sins against me, how often should I forgive?" This is not to say that we aren't to extend forgiveness to those outside of the church. Of course we are. But the focus of this passage is on dealing with forgiveness in the church, with forgiving a brother or sister in Christ. Now, if you've been around churches for very long, you know that churches can go through some pretty messy seasons of conflict. From what I have gathered, St. Luke's has gone through its own share of tumultuous times when there was great conflict. Some of you might have actually been here during those kinds of seasons. Others of you have probably have your own battle scars from churches in conflict. I know I have. But gratefully, that is not the case for us right now at St. Luke's. We're not in a season of great conflict and turmoil, and we can give thanks for that. But the truth is that every church family goes through seasons of conflict and hardship. Every single church. And so here's a question I rarely hear asked. Will we be ready when that next season of conflict comes? And more to the point, will you be ready? Will you have the spiritual reservoir of spiritual strength and power to forgive when you are badly misunderstood or deeply hurt by a brother or sister in Christ? I'm asking you this because this will happen. Or maybe even now you're facing conflicts in your life where you're finding yourself hard to forgive other people. The thing about misunderstandings and conflicts is that you can't plan for them. It catches you off guard. It's not like you can schedule when you're going to be hurt by someone so you can plan your approach and get ready. I mean, wouldn't that be great? It would be great if I knew ahead of time that Jim was really going to tick me off on October 14th and that Roger was really going to let me down on November 5th. Then I could start getting ready way ahead of time, shore up my spiritual resources, pray, psych myself up for the pain and hurt, and then be ready to forgive when it happens. But that's not how conflict and forgiveness works. Rather, you have to already be in a spiritual state where you have the spiritual resources to forgive, where there's a depth of spiritual resources within your soul that can handle conflict when it happens. There needs to be this deep reservoir of love and grace in your soul so that when you are hurt by someone, You can draw from that reservoir of love and grace to reach out your hand in love and forgiveness. In the parable of the unmerciful servant, there was something missing in the first servant's experience of forgiveness. Somehow his experience of forgiveness did not go deep enough. It did not fill him with such gratitude and humility that it translated in loving forgiveness to his fellow servant. When it comes to our experience of grace and mercy from God and Jesus Christ, is there something missing? Has our experience of God become too perfunctory and routine? Or does our experience of God reach into the depths of our souls to feed it with expansive love and profound gratitude for the mercy that we have received in Christ Jesus? Are you seeking to feed your soul each day with habits of prayer and scripture reading to give God space in your life to nourish your soul with His love and grace? Habits of prayer and scripture reading are not just things that you do. They are the avenues through which God does things to you. When you come to the Lord's table, do you come spiritually open, seeking the grace and mercy of God as you receive Christ, the bread of heaven, His blood, the cup of salvation? Or do you come to the table just going through the motions? I think it's amazing that as Episcopalians, and specifically here at St. Luke's, we have the opportunity to come to the Lord's table every week to receive from Christ His very presence and His assurance for us of His love and forgiveness. And if you're not doing these things, daily times with God in prayer and scripture, regularly receiving Eucharist and faith and openness, if you're not doing these kinds of things to let God nourish your soul, then I would venture to guess that you will not be spiritually ready to handle conflict, or for that matter, handle seasons of deep adversity and hardship. Christ Jesus Himself stands in our midst with an abundance of grace and mercy to pour into your soul. He is present with you each and every moment of your day to lavish His grace and love upon you. Are you daily, even moment by moment, opening yourself up to this profound love and grace? He invites you to come to His table and receive from Him His very self this morning. Fill up on Jesus so that when a crisis hits, when hurts arise, when the unexpected happens, you will be filled up with His resources of spiritual power and love to meet whatever happens. Amen.